last week when we started, I mentioned that you don't require shlichas for every single sneeze that you want to do. If I made a deal with someone and I sold him an automobile and he paid me, let's say even if he did pay me, and then I want to deliver the automobile to his son, or I want to deliver the television to his son, whatever it is that he's buying, I can send it with a nachri, and there's no problem of any shlichas to nachri. You don't need shlichas for that. That's what the Nesibas points out. It's in the Kufte base, the cotton base. He has a whole paragraph where he brings out this point. It's not necessary to have shlichas there. What you need shlichas for is if the lokeach is not going to make the kinyan himself. The lokeach has to make, let's say, when I deliver the automobile, so let's say the non-Jewish delivery man is going to drive it to his home. So the lokeach has to start driving the automobile to make a mishicha. Start to make a hagbo on an automobile. So let's say we'll be makel to allow him, we'll permit him to make a kinyan mashicha. So either he drives the automobile or he sends a shliach on his behalf to make the kinyan mashicha on the automobile. Okay, so then you need shlichas. But when the moicha delivers it to the home of the lokeach, for that there's no need for shlichas. I already made up with him that I'm selling it to him. The question that we discussed was, it was brought up in the middle of Shia was, what about if so there's a new style now under the chuppah? The rabbi asks the chassan, "Does this ring belong to you? Did you pay with your own money?" In Shulchan Aruch it doesn't say that. It just says in Shulchan Aruch that you have to ask the eidim out loud, "Is the ring a shava pruta?" Even though it's a dead giveaway that the ring is a shava pruta, so it says that there's a question of smichas das. And the first parak in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, if I give the girl a very inexpensive ring. This is a cheap ring that sells for $5. And she thinks that this ring is worth thousands of dollars, even though she agrees to marry me. And the thing is, shava pruta. Pruta is less than a penny. The thing is worth $10, let's say. It's worth much more than a penny. But still, the Gemara says there's a lack. There's das, that's called das kiddushin. She agreed to marry me with kesef, but it's considered a lack of smichas das. Then she thought that this kesef kiddushin that I'm giving her is worth $5,000, it's only worth $10. The Gemara says the Kiddushin is no good. So to make sure that we don't have such a mistake, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that the Masada Kiddushin should ask the Eidim out loud enough that the girl should hear, is the ring Shavah Pruta? So the girl understands, and the Eidim shake their head, yes. So the girl understands that she's agreeing, she's consenting to marry the boy, even if it's not worth the $5,000 that she thought the ring was worth, even if it turns out that it's only worth her Shavah Pruta. But it doesn't say Shulchan Aruch that you have to ask is a Shavah Pruta because you really have a suffering. We all know it's Shavah Pruta. You don't have to ask all the questions that the answers to are obvious. Is it your ring? Of course it's his ring. Did you buy it with your own money? What's the difference if he bought with his own money? What's wrong if his father paid for the ring? His mother paid for the ring? He bought it on credit? He has the ring in his hand. So right now it's his. He says it's his. Do you believe him? He doesn't have to say the ring is mine. The fact that he's holding on to it, he's using it for Kiddushin, obviously it is.
Could the girl have bought the ring? Is that possible? Could the girl have bought the ring?
Girl can buy the ring also, as long as she gives it to the boy as a gift before the Kiddushin, and he gives it to her, the Shem Kiddushin. Perfectly all right. So there's no need to ask such a question. That's maybe it's the grandmother's ring, that the grandmother's just giving it on loan because she wants to retain the family tradition, that their mother got married with that ring that belongs to the grandmother. So that's Taka's discussion in the Rosh, in Kiddushin, in the first parak. Is that good? If the grandmother lent the ring for the purpose of performing the marriage ceremony and she expects to get the ring back, is that acceptable for Kiddushin or not? We don't do it like that anyway. The girls don't go for the grandmother's ring. It's a different style of ring and they don't want the grandmother's ring. They want their own ring. Anyway, but that's what they ask. So that's the latest style. So the rabbis ask under the chuppah, is this your ring? Did you pay with your own money? So let's say the boy says, yes, he paid with his own money. They don't ask him a question. Was the owner of the ring shop there? Nobody asked that question. So we were discussing last week, it's ganz possible that the fellow who works in the shop in the jewelry store is a non-Jew, and the owner is Jewish. And there's no shlichas. A Jew cannot have a non-Jew serve as his shaliach. So so that's what we brought up last week. There is a Gemara in Bava Basra where the Gemara says that... If I bring, the Gemara says a fellow brought his push cart to town. Here's the Gemara. The fellow brought his pushcart to town in order to sell vegetables. Got it ready where it is. And all the people, and it said, and there was no handling. It says on the pushcart, every package of vegetables, how much it's worth. This sells for 50 cents, that sells for 75 cents, this sells for $1.25. Everything says exclusive. There's nothing to negotiate any prices about. And the one who brought the pushcart doesn't care whether this person buys it, that person buys it. He has nothing against anybody. He'd be happy to sell to anybody who comes. There's no discrimination over here. This is the Gemara Peches Amid Aleph, on the first wide line. So the Gemara says that once upon a time, a man brought his vegetables to the city Pum Nahara. And everybody came, they were all grabbing it. So the Gemara says, since every package says how much it sells for, and the merchant was interested in selling it, so everybody was kind of ready when they made the hakvor. He didn't have to have specific das makne, which bag of vegetables he's selling to which particular customer. Whoever grabs the vegetables, I'm asking him to sell. If you didn't determine yet how much he's gonna charge, so then no one's kind of yet. You're not kind of if you don't know how much it's gonna cost. But if every package says how much it is, there's nothing to negotiate about regarding the price, so then everybody's kind of. So this I could understand if you would, let's say if you have a jewelry shop and there's no handling, I don't know, when you buy rings, I don't remember already, there's no handling on rings. Whatever price it says, that's what you pay? I don't know.
You can always handle.
I would have thought so. So the chayre, even if you have a jewelry shop, if there's still room to negotiate about the price, to knock down the price, so then you can't say that there's das makne just because I put all the rings there. I don't care who's going to buy the rings, Jews, non-Jews. I don't care color, race, creed. Fine. Okay. But there still is room to negotiate about the price of the rings. Sometimes they're going to knock down the price. Sometimes the balabasa will agree, sometimes he won't agree if they're going to knock it down too far. So then you have to have that the balabasa appoints the merchant, the salesman. The balabasa is appointing, the owner of the shop is appointing the salesman as his shliach to negotiate on his behalf. So if the salesman is a non-Jew, so then that there's no shlichas la'akum. So the only reason why the sale may be valid is that we would rely on, there is a kinyan of dina, the malchus of dina. That's in the first parak in Gittin. The Gemara says in so many different places, dina, malchus of dina, with respect to the fact that people are obligated to pay their taxes. And if you don't pay your taxes to the non-Jewish government, so you're considered a gazlan. You're cheating from the government. You're not allowed to cheat on income tax, the Gemara says. That's one din. But in the first parak in Gittin, the Gemara has a machlokes, and the Gemara says, maybe there's a din of dina, the malchus of dina also, with respect to declaring that a Kenyan is valid. If the Goyish government declares that this constitutes a valid Kenyan, the Dina Machus Adina says that we would recognize such a Kenyan. But again, Dina Machus Adina says the Shulchan Aruch only applies if one of the parties is a non-Jew. If both of the parties involved are Jewish, then Dina Machus Adina doesn't apply. So here the two parties are both Jewish, let's say. The owner of the jewelry shop is Jewish. The salesman is a non-Jew, let's say, but the owner of the shop is Jewish, and the customer is Jewish, the husband wants to buy a ring for the girl. So if they're both Jewish, then Dina Machus Adina does not apply. So the ring doesn't belong to him, even if he paid with his own money. The ring doesn't belong to him. So the rabbis have to start asking a whole list of questions on the chuppah. Have to ask, was the salesman in the shop Jewish? Was the owner of the shop Jewish? Was he not Jewish? Got to ask a thousand questions.
Can we assume there's a minimum value that someone's on, even though the
I assume so. Yeah, he probably gives him guidelines. But Mustama, the storekeeper, will agree to set, depends who the customer is. Some people he's going to agree to knock down the price for, and other people won't agree to knock down the price. So I would assume that for that he has to have a principle of shlichus. I don't know. That's a good question. How does it work today? Even if the boy paid for the ring with his own money, it could be that the ring doesn't belong to him even with the Rabbana. Dina Machus is a machlekes. Whether the Kenyan works men out with the Rabbana. It could be that the ring doesn't even belong to the boy with the Rabbana. Nunu, that's a good question. We'll have to work on that. Okay. So again, so the Mishnah says that the Gemara understands the Mishnah, the Gemara interprets the Mishnah. Look, Tila, one should fulfill a mitzvah in person. that constitutes a hida mitzvah. What is the source in the Chumash for hida mitzvah? As someone mentioned last week, the pasuk says that kelim yadveil, it's noel upon the mitzvahs, that you should do all the mitzvahs in a very, in the most elegant fashion that you can think of. So one fashion is, one way to make the mitzvahs more mehudar is to beautify, to have the tefillin written on beautiful parchment, and to have an expert sefer write with a beautiful ksav, and to have a fancy batim, and even a fancy tefillin zekel, the Gemara says, a fancy tala zekel, also enhances the mitzvah. That's one kind of hida mitzvah. Then you have another mitzvah, Zvizi Magdimala mitzvah. Then you have another mitzvah, hida mitzvah of mitzvah bo yesma bishlucha. Then you have another hida mitzvah b'roi b'am hadas nal. You have different forms of hida mitzvah. And however you enhance the chshivas of the mitzvah, this constitutes a deeper kiyum within that mitzvah. You're yotze the mitzvah tefillin in a stronger fashion. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah implies. That we say mitzvah b'yezim b'shlucha lachidah. The chatzidah should perform the mitzvah in person, and even if you didn't, you also yotze the mitzvah, and the kiddushin is certainly valid. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that this is the case? Shlichas minolan. How do you know that shlichas works by kiddushin? The Gemara says that there is no pasuk by kiddushin. The pasuk says by a get. You have a pasuk that says that the husband can appoint the shliach to deliver the get to the wife, and the wife can appoint the shliach to accept the get from her husband. The Pnei Yeshua poses a kasha over here. The kasha is really asked by the Taisli HaRosh on the daf, but the Pnei Yeshua explains a little bit what the kasha. He didn't have a Taisli HaRosh, that's a recent thing. So he explains what the kasha is. Taisli HaRosh asked the kasha, why do you need a pasuk both for the baal, that the husband can make a shliach and the isha can make a shliach? Wouldn't one be able to derive the ability of the wife to appoint a shliach from the fact that the husband has the ability to appoint a shliach? Why would one be able to derive the woman from the man? So the Taisvi HaRosh doesn't explain why. So the Pnei Yeshua adds on one line over here just to be mazbu what the kasha is. So he says, because we have a klal, the only time there's a difference between a man and a woman, there is no neutral gender in Hebrew. Whenever you write, whenever you speak, or you write, so either you're speaking masculine or feminine. And Kol HaTorah Kula is written in masculine, and all the laws of the Torah apply to the women equally as it applies to the men. The only time we exclude women is we have a Yalfusa that by mitzvah saseh shazman grama women are exempt. Or Tosfos points out above a kama if it says ish. If it says ish, so sometimes that has a connotation of ish prat l'ish, and sometimes it does not. Sometimes we darshan differently. Ish prat l'katan, or whatever else you darshan. But normally, if it doesn't say the word ish, you just have a din in a chumash. Even though the din is written in masculine, there is no neutral gender in Hebrew. So anything that appears in the chumash is assumed ish v'akos of ish l'ish l'chol dinim shabbatar. That's a gemar baba kama, daf tezvav menach. So that's how the Pnei Yeshua presents the same kasha as the Tosfei HaRosh, by adding on that one line, Hishva Kosad Ishaliyish. So why do you need a separate pasuk? So it's interesting, he comes up with the same answer as the Taisvei HaRosh, that the ability to appoint a shliach is only if you are the balabos on this maisa. I am the balabos, the husband is the balabos to divorce the wife. It's all totally in his das. Allah says he can have the ability to divorce his wife against her wishes. He can give the get bal korcha. The Gemara doesn't say that it's permissible, it's an aver. A man marries a girl that he promises to love, honor, and cherish her, and then he decides, when she gets a lot of wrinkles in her face, he decides to divorce and marry his secretary, who's only 20 years old. So that's an avla gadayla. He deserves to be punished for that. It's an avera, but that doesn't prevent the get from being chal. The Gemara always says that a get is chal bal korcha. It doesn't mean you're allowed to give the get bal korcha. The Ran writes in the Tshuva, the Beis Yosef quotes in Ebenezer, the Beis Yosef quotes in Tshuva Saran, that it's an avera men atur. You know, Ben Gershom added on, he made a cherem that whoever divorces his wife Bal Korcha should drop dead. That's a curse from the Ben Gershom. Cherem, the Gemara says, a curse that's nichnas into the Ramach Ivorim. The Gemara says, cherem is the same letters as Ramach, that it's a curse that the rabbis give that someone should drop dead. Menatari doesn't deserve to drop dead. He deserves to be reprimanded for divorcing his wife. We should perhaps force him to remarry his wife. That was an avla that he divorced his wife Bal Korcha. So the Rabbeinu Gershom decided to, he thought that there was a problem, they decided to add on to strengthen this din that was always a din deraisa according to the Tshuva Saran, and he added on that it's a cher. So the Gemara is not talking about the permissibility of giving a get bal korcha. The Gemara is talking that the halacha says that if one gives a get bal korcha, the get is chal. The same thing the Gemara says that yibum is chal bal korcha. What do you mean? A man is permitted to attack his sister-in-law. She doesn't want yibum. She's not allowed to. Of course it's an aveir. He's going to address the woman and she doesn't want to have yibum. He's going to force her. So of course it's an aveir bin adam ha-aveir. They should put him in jail for that. But the Gemara just says if the man does yibum bal korcha shala yibum, so the din is that you're kind. If a man is mekadosh and isha bal korcha with kesef shtar abia, he's not kind of bal korcha. The girl is not married to him. But at yibum da halacha, we learn out from a pasuk that if he happened to do yibum bal korcha, which is certainly an avodah gedola to do, so the din is that the yibum is chal bal korcha. So the Tosfei Harosh and the Pnei Yeshua both explain the whole principle of shlichus is that if I'm a balabas on this kinyan, not only do I have the ability to do it myself, I can even appoint a shliach to act on my behalf. This only makes sense besides the baal, that the baal is the balabas. The get cannot be given bal korcha shalav baal. The husband has to consent to give the get. But since the get can be given bal korcha shalav isha, we're not talking about the aveira. Talking if the husband gave the get to his wife bal korcha, the din is that she becomes megureshes. He can't say that the isha is a bailim on the kinyan agerishin, on the kinyan ashtar. And every other kinyan shtar, if I want to sell you a house, I want to give you a matona. So you need the das ha-noisen and the das ha-mekabel. The das ha-moichem and the das ha-lakech. You have to have das from the both sides, from the both parties. If you don't have das from both, so then it doesn't get off the ground. So you understand that the noisen, the moichem and the lakeach, each one has the ability to make a shliach. But here by the gerishin, if not for the fact that I have an additional pasuk, the shilcha, I would have said that only the Baal has the ability to give the get, because he needs Das HaBaal on the get. So that means that he's a Bailam on the Kinyan Ashtar. But the Isha is not a Bailam at all. Right, the get can be, if the get were to be given Baal Korcha, the get would be Chal.
Why not try to Shalpa?
Oh, that's a good kasha? Okay, that's a good kasha. We'll have to work on that soon. We'll get there. So that's what the Tosfei Harosh and the Pnei Yeshua both say, that that's probably the answer in the Gemara. That's probably the answer to this kash. Why did the Tanoim think that you need two different psukim, one pasuk for the Shliach HaBaal, one pasuk for the Shliach HaIsha? So the answer is that if you would have only had the pasuk by the Shliach HaBaal, you would have said the Isha cannot appoint the Shliach. This is based, this idea that they both explain is based on what Tosfos points out in Ksubis on Daf Ayin Dalet. The Gemara says that when it comes to chalitza, simple reading the Gemara, when it comes to chalitza, neither the yavam nor the yavama can appoint a shaliach. Let's say a man is married and he dies and leaves no children. He lives in New Zealand, and he has a surviving brother who lives on the other side of the world. I don't know what the other side of New Zealand, London, Paris, I don't know, all the way to the other North Pole. All the way to the other side of the world. So the question is, so they correspond by email, whatever. They talk on the telephone. So do you, and they're not interested in getting married. They just want to perform chalitza to permit the Yavama to remarry. So do we require that they should meet at some central location, or one should go to the other one's city in order to perform the chalitza? Or would you permit one or the other, let's say the Yavam or the Yavama should have call on the telephone and appoint a shliach in that city where the other one lives, and they should perform the, by a get, you can do like that. You can appoint someone else as a shliach to give the get or to receive the get. And then you send the get by mail. And the person who lives in that town will either give the get or receive the get from the other party. So can you do that by chalitza? So the Gemara says on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph in Ksubis that by chalitza, it has to be done in person. You cannot appoint a shliach. Why? The Gemara says you can neither do it either in shliach nor can you be matala tanai. That's how the Gemara says. Let's say the yavam will be a very nice fellow. He won't hold the girl up for money right now. He won't say he wants a COD. He says he'll perform the chalitza now, but the chalitza should only be valid if the girl pays him $500,000. If the yavam pays him $500,000. Within the next half a year. So the Gemara says that even if he'll do the chalitza ala tanai, it won't make a difference. The chalitza will be good, and even if she doesn't live up to the tanai, the chalitza will be mata her anyway. Why is that so? So the Gemara says because only such people have the ability to be mata la tanai on such a pu'ula which can be done al yidei shliach. Bilsa de isa b'shlichas isa b'tanai. Bilsa de leisa b'shlichas leisa b'tanai. So Tosfos points out on ayin dalet amud aleph in Ksubos. What is that? Is there a sakasu? That's a chok? Because the parsha of Tanai is written in the Chumash in connection with Chalukah Soaret, that B'nai Godim and Eruv and the Chatzah Shevet HaMenashe wanted to get Deivah Hayard instead of getting a share in Eretz Yisrael proper. So Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give them Deivah Hayard and Allah Tanai. That they're only entitled to keep Eivah Hayard if they're going to help in the war effort in conquering Eretz Yisrael. And they'll remain there for the whole 7 years of the Sheva Shekoshim. And in the end of the story, they did. They agreed and they did fulfill their half of the deal. So we learn out the whole institution of Tanai from Parshas B'nai Godim Neiruvin. So Tosha says, what is this? Akzeres HaKosu, that Tanai only works on the Milsa Deisa B'Shlichas because the nature of the story of Chalukas Eretz Yisrael was one that was Isa B'Shlichas. Is that why? Just Akzeres HaKosu. So Tosha says, so why not say you can only make a Tanai in real estate, only in Karka, and not in the Talpilim, so you can only make a Tanai in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Loretz, you can only make a Tanai in that hemisphere, not in this hemisphere. The Tosfos says they don't think, it doesn't make sense to say that this is an arbitrary Gzeres HaKosos. Milsa de Leisev Shlichus Leisev Tanai. The Tosfos says they think that this is a Svarik. The Gemara didn't learn it out from Gzeres HaKosos, this is a Svarik. And Tosfos says, what's the Svarik? The Tosfos in Ksubas, Dafayin Dalet of an Aleph. Whatever, you're enough of a Baileman to appoint a Shliach, so obviously you're sufficient Bailin to be Makala Tanai. But on some area where you're not a Balabas to appoint a Shliach, so who are denami that you're not a Balabas to make a Tanai? And the same, the rule would work in the reverse order as well. Milsa de Leisa de Tanai, Leisa de Shlichas, Milsa de Isa de Tanai, Isa de Shlichas, that the two are totally Zebizeh. In the sense that whoever is a Bailam on a certain kinyan is a Bailam who adenami is a Bailam to appoint a Shlich and he's a Bailam to be Matal Tanai. He's not a Bailam on this kinyan, so he's not a Balabas to appoint a Shlich, he's not a Balabas to be Matal Tanai. That's what the Achreinim all point out. This is from the recent Gedolim. Rab Chaim has this. Rav Elbala quotes this in the name Rav Chaim to answer Tosfos Kasha. There's a Tosfos in Nazir is bothered with a Kasha. There are Mishnayos in Nazir where a man accepts Naziris ala Tanai. His wife is expecting a baby and he's chalashing to have a boy. Or he's chalashing to have a girl, whatever the story is. He's chalashing that he should have a baby. Or whatever the case happens to be. So he says, I hereby accept upon myself a net and Naziris in the event that my wife gives birth to a baby boy. Or in the event that my wife gives birth to a baby girl. So the Mishnah says, if it turns out that it's a boy or girl or whatever he wanted, then it becomes a Nazir. And if not, he doesn't become a Nazir. In other words, there is such a thing as Naziris ala Tanai. So Tosfos is bothered with the Kasha. You cannot accept Naziris ayde Shliach. Because the Pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra, in connection with Dar Meshvuas Nefesh Kisushova Levate Bisvasai, that a Neder or a Shvuah is only binding if the person pronounces it with his own lips. That if he appoints a shliach and he says, I want you to accept on my behalf, and then a Naziris, that the Naziris is not valid because there's a lack of levati v'sasai. So since Naziris is a milsa de leisa b'shlichas, he cannot appoint a shliach to be mekabel Naziris. So he should have said, milsa de leisa b'shlichas, leisa b'tanai. So how can the Mishnah and Adorim say that it's possible to accept the net and Naziris all the time? That's Tosfos Kasha and Nazir. So Tosfos gives a teretz on the kasha. Tosfos gives up a strange teretz on the kasha that Rabbi Kivega is not happy with on that day. So Rab Chaim and the Ragat Shover, who learned Beharusa, little children, and Rab Shimon Shkop, who was a Talmud of Rab Chaim, and Rab Ochanan Basman, who was also a Talmud of Rab Chaim. And this is the recent understanding from the last 100 years or so. So they all point to this Tosfos in Ksubas Dafayin Dalam Rav, and they say, this is not a chok, this is not a gzeres hakosov, milsa b'li taima, that the milsa de leisa b'shlichas leisa b'tanai. Tosfos explains that it goes with the svara. If you're enough of a bailim, this Tosfos Kasha is in Nozer Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. But Tosfos asks the Kasha on the Mishnah, how can you accept the Zeros Halat Tanai if it's Leisa B'Shlichas, it should be Leisa B'Tanai? So they all give the same answer. They said, Nusa de Leisa B'Shlichas, Leisa B'Tanai is only if it's Leisa B'Shlichas because of a lack of Koyach HaBayis. Here it happens to be that Naziris, Bendorim, Naziris, and Shavuot is Leisa B'Shlichas because of a technicality. The halacha requires Naziris has to be accepted, Levat, if it's a sign with your lips. That's why you're unable to appoint a Shlich. But in theory, in principle, I am a Balabas to decide whether I want to become a Nazir or not. That's a Koyach Bailus that I have. I have a right to lead my own life the way I want. You can't force it upon me that I should become a Nazir. So basically, in principle, he is a Bailam on the Kabbalah's Ned and Naziris. It's just a technicality that prevents him from appointing a Shlich to be Mekabal the Ned and Naziris. So the rule of Milsad Leitim Shlichas, Leitim B'Tanai, doesn't apply in this case. It only applies in a case. Tosfos didn't answer that, but Tosfos and Nazir didn't answer that. But the way that Tosfos explains in Ksuvas, I find out that it's not a Gzeres HaKosum, it's a Milsad Mistavra. So that's why all of these Gedolim give this teretz on Tosfos Kash. That, whenever a person lacks bailus to appoint a shliach, then he also lacks bailus to be matal atanai. So that's what the Tosfos HaRosh with the Pnei Yeshua, that's what they suggest over here. True, hishva kosri shlish l'chol adidim shabbatar, all the adidim are the same. But still over here, if you would only have a pasuk that the husband has the ability to appoint a shliach to divorce his wife, you would never know in a million years that the wife has the ability to appoint a shliach to kabbalas haget, because since the get can be done bal kocha shalu isha, so the isha is not a bailim on the kinyan of the get. So therefore, I would have thought that she is unable to appoint a shliach. So that's why I need a sepik zeres hakasev that she does have the ability to appoint a shliach. Rav
Shachar,
yes.
The issue of bal kocha, the woman can be forced to end the marriage against her will, and the husband cannot. So on the surface, it seems so unfair.
Basically, in Kiddushin also it's like that. The Kiddushin is also done by Karcha Shalva Isha. The Aloha is there's a Ran in the Dorim on Zav Chavtes. The Avne Miluim is a safe on Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra offered by the Ksei Sachayshin. So every 30 pages he quotes that Ran in the Dorim, Zav Chavtes, where the Ran explains that basically Kiddushin is also only done by the husband. The wife has to express. She has to consent that she's prepared to marry him, but then she doesn't really participate in the Maisa Kiddushin. The Baal does the Kiddushin all by himself. Like what happened at Har Sinai. The Jewish people expressed their interest in accepting the Torah. They said Nasim and Ishma, and then God forced it upon them. Kaf Aleim Har Kigigas. So that's the Ran says that every marriage is like that. That the wife has to consent to marry the husband, and then the husband does the whole Kiddushin on his own, without any participation on the part of the wife. He just needs her initial consent to enable the husband to do bal kocha. So both the get and the kiddushin, because of the nature of the marriage is such that the husband may take another wife, and the wife may not take another husband. So it's considered as if he's the husband takes the wife. You don't say the wife takes the husband. Biblically, the husband can take another wife, the wife cannot take another husband. So that's why the whole ceremony, both of the marriage and of the divorce, are done by the husband as opposed to by the wife.
But there's a previous consent in the Kiddushin. There's no consent in the divorce. So
correct.
There's no parallel.
Right. It's a kinyan to undo the previous kinyan. He has a kinyan. She doesn't have any kinyan in the marriage. She has the kinyan on her. She has rights and privileges. There are reciprocal obligations, min ha-Torah. I mean, the Rabbanon, there are many reciprocal obligations. But the nature of the get, the kinyan of the get, is just to undo the initial kinyan that he has. So to undo a kinyan, so that you don't even need consent of the other party to accomplish the kiddushin. So you need that she should agree in the first place, and then he does the whole mighty kiddushin on his own. And to give a get just means you're undoing that kinyan that you had from before. So that you don't even need the consent of the wife.
When you say
yisra
process, isn't it the issue yisra process?
The Gemara says onshim, lois esed, then the Gemara says dinim. The Gemara has a few psukim there in Bava Kama that says about one for onshim for lois esed, even though it's man grama, hishva kosavish, l'chol onshim shabbatar. Then the Gemara has another pasuk, hishva kosavish, l'chol adinim shabbatar. So this is included in dinim. Right. Here, Baruch Ber in his Sefer on Gittin raises a question. After you already have this pasuk that indicates to you that the wife has the ability to appoint a shliach for Kabbalah Taget, so how do I deal with that? Doesn't mean that this is an exception to the rule that normally you cannot appoint a shliach unless you're a Bailam on the Kinyan. So the wife is takanat the Bailam on the Gerish. The Gerishin can be done Bal Kocha, she's not at all a Bailam. So should I say, well, every rule has an exception to the rule, and this pasuk tells me v'shil chom alam shahishos a shliach that this is an exception to the rule. It clearly is an exception to the rule, but the question: what's the nature of the exception to the rule? Is it that it breaks the rule that even though she's not a bailam on the kinyan aget, she still has the ability to appoint a shliach? So what is she appointing a shliach about? I mean, she appoints a shliach. So it's considered benasan biyada. The halacha says benasan biyada, the get has to either be given biyad ha'isha or to be placed in the chata ha'isha. If you put the get into the chata ha'isha, it's also good. So here the Torah is mechadesh, a new kind of a shlichas. It's not a normal shlichas from Kala Tarakula that I transfer over the power of agency. I transfer over my koach habailus to the other person, to the shliach. And whatever he does should be considered as if I did it. What do you mean? The Isha gives over her koyach habayla. She doesn't have any koyach habayla. So it's just like there is a concept. It's a different kind of a shlichas. It's just a din, like if a woman buys a chotzer. So the chotzer is now her chotzer. She doesn't have to buy the chotzer, having in mind that the husband should divorce her. She's not interested in getting divorced. Let's say she buys real estate. And then the husband puts the get into her chotzer when she's there. And she screams bloody murder, she doesn't want to get divorced. So the din is the husband can divorce his wife al karcha by putting the get into her chatzer. So maybe the whole din of shliach, the kabbalah saget, simply means the Torah is mechadesh, it's a different kind of Torah is mechadesh, that the isha has the ability to create a yad for kabbalah's haget. But it's not really a normal din of, it's not really a din of shlichas that asiyasai ta asiyasa. She's not a bailam to appoint a shliach. Or perhaps I should say, no, it's not just that it's an exception to the rule, it's a different kind of shlichas. Perhaps the Gzeres HaKosov tells me it is clearly an exception to the rule, but the question is, an exception to which rule? So it could be that the Pasuk is telling me that although normally a get can always be given Bal Korcha Shel Ha'isha, to enable the woman to appoint a shliach for Kabbalat HaGet, so the Torah says there are two routes to give a get. You can either give, if the get is given in person, then you don't need Dasu Isha. If the get is given Aydei Acher, other than the Isha herself, she's not accepting it herself, perhaps then the Torah is Mechadesh, a new form of Gerishin that does need Dasu Isha. So since you need Dasu Isha, so she is a Bailam on the Gerishin, she's a Bailam on the Gerishin in order to enable her to appoint the Shliach. That's where a Baruch Ber raises such a question. After you have the Gzeres HaKosuv, that there is such a thing, v'shilcham alamet shahisho is a shliach, it's an exception to the rule. Exception to which rule? Is it an exception to the rule that this is a new kind of gerishin? That there is a parsha of gerishin that requires dasu isha, namely gerishin aydei acher. If the woman is not misgareshes in person, if she's misgareshes aydei kapolos mishu acher, so then we say that form of gerishin does require dasu isha, and that's why the isha has the ability to appoint the shliach to be mekabel a get on her behalf. So basically, it turns out that in that case, it is a shliach appointed by the bailam on the kinyan. Should you say no? It's a totally different kind of shliach. It's not really a shliach that asiyasa kasiyasa. No, just like if the woman would buy a chotzer. So whenever she buys a chotzer, the chotzer is yad ha'isha. That's one way to fulfill menasam biyada, if you put the get into the chatzar of the isha. So here the halacha says that the woman has the ability to appoint a shliach with kabbalah saget. It's not really acting as a shliach. She creates another yad. So the woman has two hands on her body, so she makes another two yadayim, or yadis, whatever you want to call it, by appointing a shliach. So she has a couple of more yadis, another couple of yadayim.
So we say that even though isha doesn't need some level of das, and if you don't have a karka, you simply have to have some level of das, because you can't send her away to
Gemara learns out from the pasuk that says the shulchan beiso that the get is only valid if it's mishalcha v'eino chazeres. If at the time that he gives the get, she understands what divorce is all about. If the woman is out of it, totally out of it, she doesn't even understand what's happening.
It should depend on that.
That's not really a koyach abaylus. Like Mar just says, the gerushin is only valid if the woman understands what's happening at the time. But she does the gerushin. It's still a gerushin bal kocha.
She becomes a shodeh after she makes a shliach. That I guess it would work if the gerushin for any business. She's not giving that over.
If she appoints a shliach, then she becomes the shtata after appointing the shliach. That's a good question. We'll have to learn Gemara to find that. Okay. Is there a din that a shliach, a shaita cannot appoint a shliach? Maybe there's a din that a shaita cannot even maintain, cannot retain a shliach. We'll have to see more Gemara about that. Yes?
If you learn that chatzar is mishum yadu, it's going to buy, so then why do you need another makar according to one of the seven of Baruch there? If I already know chatzar, I don't need a special makar for chatzar. So all the shlichus is representing is just the
yad. Chotzer, the Gemara learns that from the pasuk. Menasan biyado. The Gemara learns that from Vinasan that chotzer is also mitam yado. But that's chotzer that belongs to her. But the shliach doesn't belong to her. So I need another pasuk to say that even if she appoints a shliach, that's also called a yado.
And now I know that chotzer works for yada yet. Once I know that she can appoint a shliach and that represents the yad, then
no chotzer works because Vinasan. Venasan sounds like it's more than Yoda. Venasan b'Yoda, the fact that it says Venasan b'komakom implies that Yoda is broader than Yadmam. It should even include Chatzin. And if she appoints a shliach specifically for this purpose, that's learned there from Mishilcha. That she can appoint a person whose Yad is considered a Yad of hers.
That
is considered my Yad, but it's not. The first way to explain it is that it's a yotze min haklal. It means that it's a different kind of shlichus. It's not similar to shlichus in Kol HaTorah Kula, where the mishaleach is giving over the power of bailus that he or she had to the shaliach. She has no koyach bailus over here. The guest is given bal kocho. Just like when she buys a chatzah, that automatically becomes a yad. So she can appoint a shliach that'll be considered a yad only for the purpose of giving. But it's not really a din of shlichus. And the second way to explain is no, that it really has a din of shlichus. That it's real. That the Torah is mechadish another parasha. There are two parashas of gerushin. Normally gerushin is bal korach, and here the Torah is mechadish. That if it's in the interest of the woman to have gerushin midaita, the Baal could have done the gerushin bal korach anyway. But if it's beneficial for the woman to say that a gerushin can be done midaita, so then we say, okay, so there's another route. If she wants to, she can do the get midaita. What do you gain by saying the get can be done with daita? The get is going to be done by korach anyway. And so he says, no, she wants to appoint a shliach. So if he would have said, get can only be given by korach, even if they get along together, they're very happy, each one is happy for the other one, they just didn't hit it off well together. So she's going to read him a shidduch, he should marry someone else. He's going to read her a shidduch, they're still happy with each other, they're not angry at each other, but in all cases, the halacha says the get is always by korach. So if the get is always by korach, then she has no koyach to make a shliach. So the Torah is mechadish, but there's another route, namely, there can be a get midaita as well. And that is that, because the get can, if you want, the get can be given midaita, that would also be good. Usually you don't need it to give the get bal korcha. But if you want to give a shliach or isha, then we say, if she wants to, you can do the get midaita. Two routes to do the get.
According to the first tzad, would also shlichus apply? It's just a yat? All of dinei shlichus?
Probably would apply. Why not? I mean, the dinim may not be identical. We assume the dinim of shlichus do apply, that she cannot appoint as a shliach on her behalf a cherushai to be cotton. We assume it can. She cannot appoint a nochri, but maybe the dinim are slightly different. So that's exactly one of the points. The Rishonim quote, the Rimagash, who is of the opinion, Laura, I think, quotes it on Ahmed Beis. Take a look on Ahmed Beis, around 20 lines from the bottom, which says on the left hand margin, Gittin Dabkov Gimel on Beis Ayin Shom. So the Gemara quotes on that line. The line begins with the asterisk, and it says the word, the Omer Abchia Barab Omer Abyechen. He quotes the name Rabbi Yechen. Ein ho Eved, an Eved Kenaini it's referring to, not an Eved Ibri. Eino Eved Naso Shalich Lekabo Get Miyad Baila Shalisha Tishayna Betoris Gitzin Likidush. So here there's a Machloikis HaRishonim. The Rebbe is of the opinion that the Eved Kenaini, Eved Kenaini, there's no Tvisis Kidushin. Shulachem Payam Machamar Abedayim Alachamar, just like a Hamar, doesn't have any Loyacha, so too an Eved Kenaini doesn't have any Kurva. He's not considered related to his mother, to his daughter, to his brothers, sisters, and so on. And he doesn't have any yachas to a wife. So there's no tvisis kiddushin. That's how the Gemara says later in the Masechta. Eved ein lo yachas is based on the pasuk Am Adam al Hamar. Am Adam al Hamar does not apply to non-Jews. It only applies to Eved Kenaini. Eved Kenaini is Jewish. It's chai b'mitzvus ki'ishin. The Gemara never says that nochem Am Adam al Hamar. Somehow yeshiva students mix up the two. And Eved Kenaini is Jewish, and he's called Am Adam al Hamar. With respect to this one din, it's chai b'mitzvus ki'ishin. But with respect to this one dinner, they ain't no yachas, so we say that he's an Amadai Malachama. So the Rima Gash is quoted there in Gittin of Chav Gimel by the Rishonim as saying that an Eved Kenaini is excluded from serving as a Shliach, only goes Lekabol Get Niyad Baila Shalisha, only to serve as a Shliach Lekabola Saget. But to serve as a Shliach Lehailocha Saget, that's perfectly okay. This special din only applies to the Shliach Lekabola. Why? Because Shliach. So the Rishonim stay within the Rimagash, that's his Chiddush. That Shliach LeKabbalah is an irregular din. He obviously thinks the first way. Rav Baruch Be'er wasn't sure what Pshat is. This is clearly a Yotze Min HaKlal. The Klal is that the Shliach always has to be, to use the expression of the Talmud Yerushalmi, the Shliach has to be Shlucha Shol Bala Mamen. The Bailim, one is the Bailim on the Mamen, or the one is the Bailim on the Kinyan, whatever it is that you're talking about, is the one that has the ability to appoint the Shliach. Let's say I hear the Lubavitcher Rebbe used to stand on Sundays for hours and give out dollar bills. And then when the money was less valuable, he used to give out $2. So he used to stand online and he would give you money to give the stuff. Okay. So let's say I'm busy, I have no time to go. So I send a shliach to receive the $2 for me. And he goes and he says, he tells the Rebbe that Rabbi Shechter sent me as a shliach to receive the $2. So the Rebbe gives it to him, knowing that he's my shliach. So the Yerushalmi says that the Mekabel Matana doesn't have the ability to appoint the Shliach. Even though the Rebbe knows that he's my Shliach, he shows him a Shtar HaShoah, I appointed this person as a Shliach to receive the $2 or the $5 by now, $10 by now, whatever it'll be worth now. So, and the Rebbe knows it, and he knows it, and everybody knows it doesn't help. You can't appoint the Shliach. The Mekabel Matana who wants to receive Matana cannot appoint the Shliach. The Yerushalmi says, why? Because I'm not the balabas on anything over here. I'm interested in getting a gift. If I'm interested in buying real estate, I'm the balabas on my money. I'm going to have to pay for that building. And the owner, I can appoint the shliach, or the owner can, either of us can appoint an agent, the shliach to act on our behalf. Each one of us is a balabas. He's a balabas, he owns the real estate, he has to decide whether he wants to sell it or not. I'm a balabas to decide whether I want to pay for this real estate or not. So each of us is a balabas. So you can have the mocher can make a shliach and the lekech can make a shliach, but by giving a matona, the one is giving, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, if he wants to sit and learn instead of standing online over there, so he can appoint the shliach to give the money. He can appoint his wife, so she'll give the money out on one Sunday afternoon because he's the balamom and it's his money. But the mekabel matona is not a balabas yet. How can he appoint the shliach to receive the matona on his behalf? That's a famous passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi that's quoted by the Ran and the Muki Yosef and Bob Metzia, and the Nesivis quote this in Choshe Mishpat. Shliach Shlucha Shal Balamom, the only one who has the right to appoint the Shliach is the one who's the Bailin. Basically that's the same as the Taisus wrote in Ksuba and Afayin Dalit, except that Taisus is talking about Gitin Kiddushin, so you can't talk about Balamom. The term Balamom is a little bit out of place over there. So when we say over the Taisus, when we say over the Kanta, we say the only one who has the ability to appoint a shliach is the one who's the bailim on the kinyan. You leave out the word balamom. He said the one who's the bailim on the kinyan. If you're not a bailim on the kinyan, not. So comes this Rima Gash, and he says that the shliach lekabolas haget is clearly an exception to the rule. The question is, which rule is it an exception to? So he says, even after your pasuk is megala that there exists such a thing, it's still not the same as any other shliach. And here, the rules of shlichas are slightly different from kala tarkula. You're trying to suggest that maybe she can appoint a goy as a shliach. If she can buy a field, if the woman can buy a house, and the house is the chotzer of the isha is also good, so when she appoints a shliach, just becomes a yad of the isha, so why she Why can't she appoint the goy as the shliach? It's not that asu yosi, kasu yosi. The answer is no. That somehow the Gemara assumes that the restrictions that cherusha to be cut and akum cannot serve as a shliach. To be assumed that they apply over here also. But the Rimagash understood within the memory of Rabbi Yechanan and on the days, 20 lines from the bottom of Mem Aleph on the days, that only applies to shliach lekabala saget. That we require that the shliach should be a person who is yesh the materis kisigidush. Normally, an Avik 90 is Jewish. It's chayv mitzvus keisha. He can serve as a shliach on anything under the sun, except for get, because Eved ain't lo yachas, he's not married, he's not shach that he should get divorced. So because the zayin b'teres gets in the kiddushin, so therefore he cannot serve as a shliach the kabbalah saget. So the Rimagash says for halachas saget he can, and for halachas kiddushin kabbalah kiddushin he can serve as a shliach. You don't need yesh and b'teres in each and every case of shliach. If it's a normal shliach, the person is a bailim to appoint a shliach, so you can appoint an Avik 90 also. You don't have to be yesh nebeteres. That's what the Rimagash says. He says the only time you require yesh nebeteres is by the shliach lekabbalah saget, because it's not a normal din of shlichus. It's just a din that she's making herself, she's created. The Torah gives her the ability to make another yad without buying a chotzer. Shaloi b'din chotzer. She appoints a shliach, so that shliach becomes her yad. So you can only consider the yad of shliach as a yad of the isha if that shliach is an individual who's yesh the b'teres gitz in the kiddushin. Zayin b'teres gitz in the kiddushin, so you can't consider it the yad of shliach. The achrayim ask a taina, all the rishonim disagree with this Rimagash. The main kasha is from this Gemara. Because the Gemara says on Amud Beis, can a Jew appoint a non-Jew as a shaliach to be mafresh truma on his behalf? Let's say in the slaughterhouses, on the Shech the Behemoth, so who does the trapering, who rips out the fat, and who rips out the dam? The guy, the Schweitzer knows how to do it. You have to have a Jew watch to make sure that he's ripping out the right thing, but who does it? The guy does it. So what's wrong if you have a goy, let's say you have a mashgichim are watching, and the goyim are going to do all the hafrashas, trumas, and maizah. They already know what the Jews do. Set aside 2% for truma, 10% for maizah rishon, 9% for maizah sheni. They know the whole pizman. It's written on the wall in Hebrew sheni, they know how to do it. So the Gemara says you can't have a non-Jew do the hafrashas, trumas, and maizah. So the Gemara says, why not? First the Gemara says, well, we have a pasuk. The pasuk says, kei torim ugam atem. That's on the top, that's the third line from the top. It says, "Kein torimu gam atem." So the word "gam" is lirabas as hashaliach, and "atem" goes on the farmer himself. Either the farmer is mafresh trumas and maizris, or the shaliach of the farmer is mafresh trumas and maizris. So because the two are written one next to the other in the same pasuk, so we say "atem gam atem," that there's a hekish. So what's the hekish? Ma atem b'nei bris, avshluchachem b'nei bris. So just like the farmer is Jewish, because the Torah is only giving all the mitzvahs, all the Tariq mitzvahs are given to the Jewish people, the Tariq mitzvahs were not given to the non-Jews, so too, the shaliach has to be a Jewish person. So the Gemara says, we learn out from a pasuk that you cannot have a non-Jew act as the shaliach of the Jewish farmer on his behalf to be mafish trumas and maizis for him. So the Gemara asks the kasha, and why do you need a pasuk to tell me that you cannot appoint a non-Jew as a shaliach to be mafish trumas and maizis? I would have known that on my own, because a non-Jew is a machlekes hatanoim, Reb Shimon and the Rabbanon. Take a look a little later on the daf, on Mem Aleph and Beis. The Gemara quotes where it says Trumas Paragimel Mishnah Tes. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Trumas where there's a machlekes Reb Shimon and a Chachamim. What if a non-Jew has a farm in Eretz Yisrael? He's not obligated to. Let's say a non-Jew decides he wants to shake a lulav, he wants to sit in sukkah. In Yiddish, there's an expression, "Vikum tayovan a sukkah arayim." How does a non-Jew come into a sukkah? What if a non-Jew decides he wants to build a sukkah and he wants to sit in the sukkah? Is that meaningful? Is there kima mitzvah? So the Rambam writes, "Yeah, non-Jew ain't a mitzvah yet. Non-Jew wants to." We usually think about a woman shaking a lulav or a woman sitting in the sukkah. What about a non-Jew wants to sit in the sukkah? Fine, like it's untayv, let him sit in the sukkah. He can't say bracha shikir d'shan b'mitzvah to tzivon. It's not true. He doesn't have a kedushas Yisrael. We follow the Rabbi Natan, the Ashkenazim, follow the Rabbi Natan, that a woman has the full Kedushas Yisrael, even total Kedushas Yisrael, the same as a man, just that if she doesn't want to, she doesn't have to fulfill the mitzvah says that she has magram. So if the woman will fulfill them, she will volunteer to listen to the shofar or to shake a lulav. So we follow the Ashkenazim, follow the Rabbi Natan, that the woman can even say a bracha, because it's true. Asher Kedushana b'mitzvah b'tzimon, it's true that she has the full Kedushas Yisrael. A non-Jew does not have a Kedushas Yisrael at all, so you cannot say a bracha, that's understandable, okay? But But it would make sense that he should, if he wants to volunteer as an Einim to the Yaisa, he can do so to fulfill the mitzvah. I remember there was once a little girl in NCSY who found out that she wasn't Jewish. Her father was Jewish, and her mother was not Jewish, and her parents got divorced, and then her mother remarried. I think the second husband was a non-Jew, both the husband and the wife, now they're both not Jewish. So the girl thought that she was Jewish because her father was Jewish. She used to go to NCSY. Then one day she found out the good news, so she wanted to convert right away. So we told her, what are you rushing to convert? You have to keep kosher, you have to keep Shabbos. It's going to be impossible. So we calmed it down. So I remember once between December 25th and January 1st, they used to have Yachid Kalas. It could be that they still have. For boys and girls from all over the United States and Canada who go to Goyish High School. So they had Yachid Kalas. So all the rabbis from Yeshiva, all the guys from the school, everybody gave every hour on the hour. There's someone else giving another shiur there in New Jersey. So my assignment was I should give a shiur on women reciting brachas on mitzvah says the Shas Mangon. So I was explaining. Then I see this little girl there. So then I said, this of course only applies if the person is Jewish. If the person is not Jewish, then it's not shaykh. He can't say a bracha. So I saw she was very upset about that. So she comes over afterwards. So she starts to argue with me. So she says, why can't you say a bracha? So I'll leave out the middle. I'll say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Al Netilas Lulav. So I said, translate it into English. There's no sentence you have to have. He didn't say anything. So she says, well, then I want to convert now. I'm cheating her of all the brachas. So the whole time she was on the assumption that she can do all the mitzvahs and say all the brachas. I'm cheating her of the brachas. So we had to calm her down again. So she should take it easy. You can't, a non-Jew can't say a bracha. It's not, I can't leave out the Asher Kiddushanah B'mitzvah. The sentence doesn't make any sense. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Al Netilas Lulav. Aleishe Bafsuka. It doesn't make any sense. So the din is that if a non-Jew wants to volunteer, the Gemara in Menachos talks about Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was very friendly with a non-Jew. So the non-Jew wanted to have a mezuzah on his doorpost. So he wanted to volunteer as an Einim Mitzvah Yehuda to have a mezuzah. So Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva about this. He quotes the Tesis of Menachos, quotes a Yerushalmi like that. Artifon, I think his name was, a non-Jew. So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi knew that he wouldn't be mevazeh the mezuzah, so he gave him a kosher mezuzah and he fulfilled it. As an Einim Mitzvah V'yoseh, he put the mezuzah on his door. He can't say a bracha, can't say kiddushan and mitzvah mitzvah, but it makes sense. So the shaila is, does it make sense that the non-Jew should volunteer every single mitzvah, all the tariq mitzvahs are there? Are there any mitzvahs where it simply doesn't make any sense, that it's not shaykh that the non-Jew should volunteer? So here there's a machlekes hatanoi. What if the non-Jew has a farm in Eretz Yisrael and decides he wants to volunteer? He's going to be machris trumas and maisus. Does the nochri have the ability to be korishem truma, to be korishem maiserishin, to be korishem maisershein? So normally we assume that there is an inyan that's called hafloah. Hafloah means ish kiapli ish awisha kiapli linda nevenoza la'azal Hashem. Hafloah means to pronounce. Lafli, Rashi says, le farish bisvoto, parlay bala. Rashi writes. Rashi was a Frenchman. So he writes parlay, to speak. So yafli means to speak. The Rambam has a sefer hafloah where he has all of the laws. The Rambam has 14 svarim, the Yad HaZaka and the Mishnah Torah. So one of the svarim is called the sefer hafloah where he gives all of the dinim of nidorim and shvus and erchen and naziris and hekdeshes and haramim. Whenever something is chala, they amira. So the din is that a nochri who takes a neder or a shvuah, we assume it's not binding. Shvuah, the Yerushalmi has a machlokes. Maybe shvuah is the Mishlam Melech and Hilchas Malachim. But the Yerushalmi has a machlokes. Maybe if a nachri takes a shvuah, maybe it's binding because it's like avodah zarah. Because a shvuah always has to be, the Rambam writes, a shvuah is either shvuah b'Hashem or shvuah b'Hashem. Either he's wearing by God, means that just like I believe in God, so too I'm not going to eat the potato chips. So then, if a Nochri is going to accept the Shvuah Bashem, and he says, just like I believe in God, so too I'm not going to eat the potato chips, then he goes and eats the potato chips. So what he's saying in effect is that he doesn't believe that God exists. So that's maybe the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. Or there's a Shvuah Bashem. I swear to God, he says, that he's not going to eat the potato chips. So that's also, maybe he's swearing to God and then he's going to eat the potato chips and he's going to double cross God. He's gonna slap God in the face, not denying that God exists, but he promised to God, Shvuah Lashem. The Rambam says Shvuah always has to be either Lashem or Bashem. Either he's swearing by God, just like I believe in God, so too. I'm not gonna eat the potato chips, so he's swearing to God. So So the Mishnah Mara quotes the Yerushalmi that since there's one opinion among the Tanaim and the Yerushalmi that since the Shvuah is either Lashem or Bashem, maybe that's either included in Birchas Hashem, insulting God, like a curse of God, if he violates the Shvuah, maybe it's a violation of Avodah Zarah. That's a possibility, but it's not because of, it's not that the Shvuah is binding in Hilchos Shvuah. In Hilchos Shvuah it's not binding. Nochri, he takes a neder, the neder is not counted. So the question is, what if a non-Jew wants to volunteer to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash? Is there such a thing? You have to be makdish the korban before you makrif it in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's a pasuk in Chumash. Pasuk in Chumash, it says you're not permitted to be makrif bali mumin. And it says miyad benechor. Even if a non-Jew brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, a non-Jew who wants to give a korban lashamayim, wants to make his own bama, wants to make his own mizbeach chutz to the Beis HaMikdash, that's what we call a bama. He wants to offer to the Rabbanu Shel Olam in heaven above, he wants to offer karbanos. If he's in Tahiti, he can bring karbanos, he can even bring a balmum. The Gemara just says it's in Yitzhar, he's not permitted to bring Mechusar Ever. That's the Gemara in the first parak in Masechus Avodah Zarah. He's not permitted to offer a karban that's missing a limb. But if it's just a karban balmum, he's permitted to bring a balmum on his own bama. But if he wants to bring a karban to the Beis HaMikdash, he designated this animal as a karban. He brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. So then the pasuk says in Chumash, we wouldn't accept it. Miyad Benecher also, you wouldn't accept it. You're not allowed to accept it. Even though he's allowed to bring such a carbon balmum on his own bama, but when he decides to bring it to the Mizbech on the Beis HaMikdash, we have to tell him, sorry brother, we can't accept it. You want to bring this balmum, bring it on your own bama. We can't bring it here. So the Gemara learns that from the Psukim, that although a Nachri is not a Bar HaFloa, he doesn't have the ability to take a Nether, you can't take a Nazirus or anything like that. And Shvuah, the Pashtus, we accept that opinion in Yerushalmi. The Noach doesn't even have a din of Shvuah either. That's a collector's item, what the Mishlam Malach quoted, that there's a Braisa. There's one time it was on the opinion that the Noach, who accepts upon himself a Shvuah, the Shvuah is binding because it's either Shvuah Bashem or Shvuah Lashem. That's a Chiddush. But the Pashtus is a Nochri, is not a Bar HaFloah. So despite the fact that a Nochri is not a Bar HaFloah, the Apsukim HaChumish that say that Akrabas Karbanis is an exception to the rule. If the Nochri is Magdish a Karbin, the Gemara learns that from the Psukim, Ish Ish, the Rabbi says, Ha'achim Shanod Ben Adorm Ben Adobis Kiyisro, but he says, Hare Zu, Hare Alai, he says that the Adorm Ben Adobis Achal. So that's an exception to the rule. So here there's a Machlekes HaTanoim, how far does that exception to the rule go? The Reb Shimon is of the opinion that that's only on Hegdish. Shanodrim Hegdashis, that the Goy can donate a carbon and donate a matana to the Beis HaMikdash. Gemara talks about non-Jews donating gifts to the Beis HaMikdash, that's one thing. But if the non-Jew wants to donate truma, so Reb Shimon learns that from a pasuk, Reb Shimon poiter, truma salakachavim midamas, what if a non-Jew is mafresh truma? A non-Jew is not obligated to be mafresh truma. What if he volunteers? He wants to, as an enem is tuva v'yosef, he wants to sit and cook a gizantei, he wants to shake a lulav gizantei. So what if the non-Jew wants to volunteer to be mafresh truma? So the Tanakam is of the opinion, the non-Jew wants to volunteer any other mitzvah, there's no shad. What if he wants to volunteer hafloi? He wants to volunteer to become a nazir. So the Gemara says in Perek HaKusim, in the end of Maseches Nazir, there is no such thing. A nochri who accepts upon himself and that in the ziris, it's simply not chal. It just doesn't work. It doesn't get off the ground. So what about over here? If the nochri wants to volunteer to be mafresh truma from his own tvua, so the Tanakam says yes. The truma is chal. Learned that from the pasuk that the nochrim, even though they're not a bar haflo, but they can be magdish, so included in Akzeres HaKosva is that they can be mafresh truma. And therefore, if he's mafresh the truma, it's midamas. If the truma will fall into chulin, you'll have to have mayor. There's a chumra mid the rabbanon that although usually an iser is bottled beroy, chad betray bottle, but by truma they didn't require when it's mimimino, chad betray is bottle. So mid the rabbanon, there's a chumra that you need mayo. It's not a din min atar, it's a din mid the rabbanon. That's mid damat. You have to have mayo in order that it should become bottle. So that's chumra mid the rabbanon of mid damat, that you have to have mayo chulin to be mevatul, the one unit of truma, even applies to truma sabi kachav. The chayovim alei chaimish. Let's say a non koyin eats truma b'shoigik. So we have a parsha in the chumash that whoever is not a koyin eats truma b'shoigik has to give kerem chaimish. So that's the question, does Chaimish apply when it was a voluntary? Does the din of Chaimish apply? It was a voluntary truma. The Goy, if he didn't want it, didn't have to be Mafresh truma. He decided to, as an enem, to be Mafresh truma. So that's what the Mishnah tells us, even though it's a voluntary truma, chayav ma'aleh achoymish, there still is a din of choymish. There's such a discussion in the Ravid. The Ravid learned the Chavrusa with the Balamor. They're both learned by the Ravid. There were three people who were known as the Ravid. One wrote a history book, so he's never quoted in Shulchan Aruch. He wrote this Sefer HaKabbalah, which is on history. It's very inaccurate also, so it's not so good for history. Then you have the two who are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shach says, don't confuse them. One was the father-in-law, and one was the son-in-law. The two different. So the son-in-law was the famous Ravid, the one who wrote the Hasogas on the Rama. He's the famous Ravid, and he learned the Chavrusa with the Balamor, Ben Mizrachi Alevi. They learned in Provence under the Ravid, the Balo Eshko. He was the rabbi of Narbona. The Ravid, the famous Ravid, is Rabbi Avram ben David. That's why he's called Ravid, Reish Aleph Beis Dalet. The father-in-law was Rabbi Avram ben Yitzchok Av Bezen of Narbona. It's not the same Rosh Hashanah as Ravid. So anyway, so the Ravid married the daughter of the Ravid, the same name. Son-in-law and the father-in-law had the same name, Avram. They didn't have the exact same name, but he was Avram ben David, he was Avram ben Yitzchok. So the Balamor and the Ravid learned by Chavrusa with each other, wrote Hasogas on each other's works. So we have on the bottom of the Rif, you have the running commentary of the Balamor. He always disagrees with the Rif. So we have Hasogas of the Ravid. Most of the time it doesn't appear on the bottom of the page. On Gittin, a few mistakes we have it. The Hasogas is called Kasuv Shom. Every paragraph the Ravid begins, Kasuv Shom, my dear friend Rabbi Mizrachi wrote in his paper, this and that and the other thing, and I disagree. Either he disagrees, or if he agrees, he says that he stole it from me. It's my shtickle tari, my chavrus has stolen from me. Or he touches it up a little bit. He has a comment on everything. The rabbi has a comment on everything. And so on some of the sichtes is printed on the bottom of the page, and the others is printed separately. They found the manuscript around 80 years ago, and Eretz Yisrael, they printed it in Eretz Yisrael many years ago. And then on the Sfarim, you have even, and then the Ravid wrote the Balei HaNefesh and Hilchos Nidah and Mikvahs. You have the Hasogas of the Balamor also. Same style as the Ravid. They disagree with each other. So the manuscript of the Hasogas of the Ravid on the Balamor, we don't have the whole manuscript. It's missing, towards the very end, it's missing. So in the end of Chulin, where we don't have it in the Kosov Shom, we don't have it in the manuscript, we have a piece from the Ravid in his Kosov Shom that is Alpi Mazel, was quoted in the Sefer Kaftav Aferach. Kaftav Aferach is a Sefer that was written at that time by one of the Rishonim who moved from Europe to Eretz Yisrael, and he had to observe all the mitzvot HaTlilis Bar. So he wrote a whole Sefer, how do you do this? How does a Jew who went on Aliyah never used to, doesn't know what it's all about, Shumas HaMaisis, Shmita V'Yovel, how are you supposed to act in Eretz Yisrael? So he wrote a whole Sefer, Kaftav Aferach. So in the middle of his Sefer, he quotes a missing piece from the Ravid, because the manuscript of the Kosov Shom conks out in the middle of Chulin. At the very end of Chulin, the Ravid has the following comment. There are contradictions between the various Gemaras. We spoke a little bit on Shabbos about this. The contradictions of various Gemaras with respect to which fruits and vegetables is one obligated to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisis. So some Gemaras seem to say, like Rashi and Taisus say, that Minatar one is only obligated to be Mafresh Trumas and Maisis. Like it says in yesterday, said Ramaisa Degon Chavisirosh Chavitzarecha. Only on Dogan Tirish Vyitza. And everything else is only Midirabon. That's how we pass from the Shulchan Aruch. Dogan is the Hamishis mini dog and the grain. And Tirish is either grapes or wine. Tirish means wine, grape juice. Modern Hebrew, Tirish means grape juice. And Yitzar is olive oil. So we say olives and olive oil, and grapes and grape juice, and grain, that's Chayiv and Shumas Hamaisis. And everything else is only Midirabon. The problem is that you have so many psukim all over the place seem to imply as if Hafrashas Trumas and Maisus Amnan Dogen Tirish V'Yitzar is also Menat Torah. What do you do with all of those psukim? That's the problem over here. Here's one of the problems here. If you're learning Kiddushin, give Olam Ad Aleph. So there's a Tosfos Ma Yerek Darke Ligod L'Ochol Mayim. Tosfos works on this problem. The Gemara has psukim about Hafrashas, Trumas, and Maisris, Anan, Dogen, Tirish, V'Yitzar, they're going to say all those psukim, all the drushes are all asmachta. It's very wild. How can be? Everything is an asmachta. Too many asmachtas. So the Ravid, in order to answer Taisus Kasha and Gimel Amar Aleph, has the following Kiddush. He says the obligation to be Mafrish, Trumas, and Maisris, Menatera, only applies to Dogen, Tirish, V'Yitzar, and all other fruits and vegetables there's no Issa Tevo. You're permitted to eat it without Hafrosha. But if you want to volunteer to be Mafrish, Jumas and Maestris, as an enemy to the Issa, that's permissible. Achidish. And now he came up with a new thing, that there's such a thing, Menatera, as Jumas and Maestris, a non-dogm Tirish Vizza, on a voluntary basis. So now he comes up, now he has to negotiate, well, what status will the Truma have? Someone's Mafrish Truma from potatoes. So he says, you weren't obligated in our Torah to be Mafrish the Truma, but the Truma from the potatoes is Chal Min HaTorah. So what are the dinim of this Truma that's Chal Min HaTorah that you didn't have to be Mafrish if you wouldn't have wanted to? So he says, let's say a non-Kohen eats Truma, the basis. That's not permissible. So the Onish says in the Chumash, Azar Shachal Truma, is Misa B'dei Shamayim. So the Rabbi thinks that it doesn't make sense that there should be Misa B'dei Shamayim over here, because the farmer wasn't Mechuyiv in the first place to be Mafrish this Truma. There's only a voluntary Truma, it's an Eidim B'tzuluyev. So he thinks that there wouldn't be Misa B'dei Shamayim. What would be the din if a non-Koyin would eat the Truma B'sheigeg? So the Torah has a din you have to give Kerem L'chaymish. But the Rabbi thinks that the Kerem L'chaymish there would be. Even though there's no Misa B'dei Shamayim, if a Zar will eat it, B'meizid, but if a Zar will eat it B'shoigek, he thinks that there will be a din of Chaymesh. That corresponds, the din of Chaymesh, that corresponds to what the Tanakhama says, Aliyah Truma Sadek Echavim, this Mishnah and Truma, that thing more quoted. Truma Sadek Echavim, Midamas, L'chayov, Malah Chaymesh. A non-Jew is not obligated to be Machris, Truma, and Maisus, it's not from the Sheva Mitzvahs B'ninot. But if he wants to volunteer, Gizantay, if he volunteers to be Machris, so the Tanakhama holds, That the Truma is Chal. To what extent is it Chal? So the Ravid says, that's the Pshat. Chayav Malachoymesh, he thinks that despite the fact that if the Tzar would eat it, B'mezid, there would not be a punishment on Misa B'dei Shamayim, because the punishment of Misa B'dei Shamayim is only on such a Truma which you were obligated to be Mafrish. You started off that the whole thing was Tevel, and Tevel has a punishment on Misa B'dei Shamayim. If you eat Tevel, so then if you Mafrish Truma in an obligatory fashion to remove the Easter Misa B'dei Shamayim from the Tevel, then there's going to be a Misa B'dei Shamayim on that Truma. But here, that all Afrashas Truma was B'taras Eina Metzuba V'yaisa, so the Rabbi thinks that there wouldn't be any Misa B'dei Shamayim. But it says in the Mishnah, by the Truma that the non-Jew volunteers Chayav Malach Chaymesh. So this leads the Rabbi to believe that Hu Adinami, there would be a Chayav Chaymesh if the former volunteers, like today, everybody does. They're Mafrish Trumas and Maises on oranges and on potatoes and on carrots and on apples and everything, which is not Chayv Min HaTorah. So the Rabbi says, yeah, it's not Chayv Min HaTorah, but if you Mafrish, the Afrosha will be Chal Min HaTorah, and there will be a Chiyuv of Chaymish. If the Tzar will eat it B'shegig, there will be a Chiyuv Chaymish. This is a problem, you should keep in mind, this is a problem, because there is a Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, around of Ayin Aleph, Ayin Beis, where the Gemara says the following parallelism. The Gemara has the following parallel. That if a person violates an Avera B'mezit for which he's Chayiv Kareis, so if he violates that Avera B'shoigeg, he has to bring a Korban Chatam. That's what the whole Masechus Krisis is all about, the first parish of Krisis. Today's Rosh Chodesh Elul. So you know, there's a Musa Sefer that was written by a great Goyim from around 200 years ago in Vilna. That's called Yisoid V'Shara Shavoida. It was written by Rabbi Alexander Zizkin. So in his, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Dari so often. He says, Yisoid V'Shara Shavoida. So he writes that there was a meaning of the earlier Bali Musar HaKadmonim to learn Masechus Krisis during Chodesh Elul, just in case the person violated an Aver Sheyesh Bokareis, so you should get a Kapara by learning the Mishnah Gemara Krisis, Mishnah Krisis, which talks about bringing Korban Chatos in order to accomplish a kapar. It's the din of an Neshama form, so say. So that's the whole theme of the first Berak in Krisis, that an Avera in the Mishnah lists off the 36 Lamagov Krisis on Muras Bater. There are 36 Averas for which the punishment is Koris. So whenever a person does an Avera, which if he would have violated it, B'shegig would have brought upon himself a punishment of Koris, If he violates the Aver B'Shegeg, he has to bring a Korban Chatos to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, Chatos is the Koreis, like Nisa B'dei Shamayim is, like Chomish is to Nisa B'dei Shamayim. A Zar who eats Truma B'mezid is chayiv nisa b'day shamayim. So therefore, the zar shachal truma b'shegeg has to give chomesh as a kapara for having violated the avera b'shegeg, which if he would have done it b'mezid, would have warranted a punishment of nisa b'day shamayim. So violation b'shegeg requires a kapara, so the kapara is chomesh. Just like the korban chatos is a kapara, the atonement to gain a kapara for the avera violated b'shegeg, which if he would have done it b'mezid, would have mechayiv kares. So the chomesh is the kapara for the misa b'day shamayim of the zar shachal truma b'mezid. So this Ravid is problematic. The Ravid writes a chiddush over here. The Ravid is taking and he's starting up with this mishnah in Trumas. So he understands that the non-Jew is volunteering the Torah Seinu Mitzvah V'yoysa. So the non-Jew can volunteer to shake a lulav and to listen to Tzvi'ah Shofar and to sit in Sukkah and to do all the mitzvahs HaTorah. The machlokes HaTanaim here is Afloah the Nochri doesn't have, so the Nochri is going to accept upon himself a neder is not chal, and the Ziris is not chal. That's the Mishnah Hakusim Ein Lahem the Ziris. He doesn't have that. But Hakdosha, he does that. Ishish, Lerabbis Sakum, Shinor, Benador, Menadavis, Kisor, the Nochri, if he's Magdish Beheime, it is chal. That's an exception to the rule, despite the fact that he's not a Bar Afloah, but if he's Magdish Beheime, it is chal. So what about Truma? So how far does this exception to the rule go? Does it include Truma? Does it not include Truma? That's what the Gemara explains. That's the machlokes of Shimon and Achachon. Reb Shimon fight there. Reb Shimon holds that the truma on Nochri is just not kal. The Nochri cannot be mafresh truma. Just like the Nochri cannot be mekabel ned and nezirah, so you cannot be mekabel and ned. It's not a bar hafloah. The pasuk is only making an exception to the rule ishish. The rabbis of Zachim shenod min adar min adavis kisod. That's hegdish mamish, hegdish karbonus, hegdish berakapai. Is that he can do? But Kedushas Truma, he doesn't have the ability to create, because basically we revert back to the basic rule. Basic rule is that an Akum is a la bar haflot. And the Tanakama disagrees. Tanakama holds that included in the pasuk Yishish, the rabbis of Sa'akum, Shinod, Benador, Menadavis, Yisrael, is that B'nei Noyach, if they want to volunteer, they have the ability to be mafresh karbonis, and they also have the ability to be mafresh Trumas and Maises. So now, on the assumption that the Nochri can, as an Enem Mitzvah Yosi, can volunteer to give Trumas and Maisris, what status would that Truma have? So the Tanakhama says, Chayav Malach Chaymish. Despite the fact that it's a voluntary Truma, it's still Chayav Chaymish. So the Ravid picks this up and he says, well, Dinami, there would be a Chayav Chaymish if you mafresh Truma from potatoes or tomatoes or oranges or apples, anything other than outside of the Dog and Tirish V'Yitzar, the Hafrasha of Trumas and Maisris on all of those is a voluntary Hafrasha. So he says, you see from this Mishnah that you are Chayav Chaymish. The Ravid explains that it's a Chiddush. He thinks it doesn't make sense, there should be Misa B'day Shamayim, but it still is Chaymish. So that's a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush, because the Gemara said in Shabbos that the Chaymish is to the Misa B'day Shamayim, just like the Chatos is to the Koris. So the Chaymish is the Kapara for having violated an Aver B'Shegig, which if he would have violated it, the Mezid would have warranted. So that's a chiddush. That the rabbi thinks it doesn't have to be in each and every individual case. He thinks in this case, by the nochri who volunteers to be marfresh, or by the one who's marfresh on potatoes and tomatoes and oranges and apples, there wouldn't be any misa b'day shemayim, but there would be chiddush. That's a big chiddush. So again, so the Gemara quotes the machlekes hatanoim. Very fun mishnah machlekes hatanoim. Reb Shimon fights. Reb Shimon says that the nochri is marfresh tum is just not chal. We revert back to the basic rule that a nochri is a la bar haflo. The Gemara in Tzmura and in Zvachim learns it all out from Psukim. How far do you go with the pasuk? You start off the principle that a nochri is a la bar haflo. Then you have a pasuk that says ishish l'rabbis ha'sa'akum shenorj ben adar min adabis ki yisrael, that he does have the ability to be magdish. And then you have a further machlek is based on Psukim. It's all based on drushas from Psukim. So if Shimon says that's as far as it goes, and you cannot extend that norj ben adar min adabis, cannot extend it to Truma. Tanakam says not true. It even extends the truma. So the Gemara says here, going back again, we had a drasha from the pasuk that if the Jewish farmer wants to appoint a non-Jewish shaliach to be mafresh trumas and maisus on his behalf, we have a pasuk that that's not acceptable. Gam atem, gam is the rabbi says of shaliach, and atem is on the farmer himself who's mafresh the trumas and maisus. So the fact that the two are written one next to the other constitutes a hekesh. So the hekesh teaches me ma atem b'nei bris. You cannot appoint a non-Jew as your shliach to be mafresh truma for you. So the Gemara says, if you would have had this pasuk by selling real estate, would have had the pasuk by selling diamonds, by selling rings in the jewelry store, the pasuk would say atem gam atem, that you cannot appoint a non-Jew as a shliach for business for Mecca Chememka. Okay, so I don't understand what the need for the pasuk is. I would have thought that a non-Jew should be able to serve a shliach. I have a pasuk that says he cannot. But the original pasuk atem gam atem has to make sense in the original source. The original source is by Truma. The Gemara says by Truma you don't need a pasuk to tell you that a non-Jew cannot serve as a shliach on behalf of the Jewish farmer to be mafish Truma Samas. I know mitzara svara, according to Reb Shimon. If you all like the Tanakhama, that is that the non-Jew who wants to be mafish Truma can volunteer to do so. He's not mechuyev. It's not for the Sheven mitzvahs beninoya. But if he volunteers, it'll be chal. So if you all the Tanakh Tame, I understand the non-Jew is yeshna b'toras afrosh as truma. I need a pasuk to say that he cannot appoint him as a shliach to be mafrish truma on behalf of the farmer. But if one assumes like Reb Shimon, if you assume like the Tanakh Tame would say, but if you should assume like Reb Shimon that he's leisei b'truma denafshei, the non-Jew, Reb Shimon learns that from a pasuk that the Akum is not a bar haflot. He doesn't have the ability to volunteer this mitzvah. He can sit in sukkah, he can shake a little bit, he can hit kiyas. He can blow for himself also. But it doesn't make sense. It's not possible for him to be mafish truma. So if he's leisei b'toras truma denafshei, so the Gemara argues, I know mitzara svara that the nochri cannot serve as a shliach on behalf of the Yisrael. So how can Reb Shimon hold that the original pasuk atem gam atem to be memayat and akum, that the akum cannot serve as a shliach on behalf of the Yisrael? How can the original pasuk be written by Truma? By Truma, I don't need a pasuk. You should have a pasuk like that written somewhere by Mechachememka, by business, where the akum is yeshna mitaris, business denavshe. That's the Gemara's kash. So the Achrayim say this Gemara totally contradicts what the Rimagash said. The Rimagash came up with an einfall that Rabbi Yechanan did. Omar Abchia Barabba, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, Ein hoeved naso shlich lekabel get me abayla shalisha v'sheinim mitaris git negidushin. He claims that that din is a din miyuchad only for shliach lekabola saget. He says shliach lekabola saget doesn't correspond to any other din of shliach in kol ha'teruv kulo. Shliach by mekachem memkan, shliach by gittin, shliach habal by gittin, shliach by kiddushin, shliach by afroshes truma. Every other shliach is you're giving over koyach bailus that you have. You transfer over the koyach habalus to the other person. But over here, it's not a vort of transferring over koyach habalus. The isha doesn't have any bailus on anything over here. The get can be given by korcha. The get is always given by korcha shalish. Even if they're friendly and they're getting along with each other, and each one is going to rent the other one a shidduch, alfidin, the get is always given by korcha shalish. She doesn't participate in the ma'isim here. So the isha is not a bailam at all. So what's the whole vort that the isha has the ability to appoint a shidduch? It's a different vort. She creates another yad. So the Rimagash claims that's the whole din of Rabbi Yochanan. You cannot consider the yad of an Evik Naini as a yad because ain't a b'toris gitni kiddush. He says that the Eina B'Toris is only a din that applies in this one case. It's not a problem. The Eved Kanani can serve as a shliach lo haylochas haget. He can serve as a shliach by kiddushin, even though the Eved Kanani doesn't have any tzitzis kiddushin. He says he can serve as a shliach lo haylochas hakiddushin or the kabbalas hakiddushin or lo haylochas haget. The only time an Eved Kanani is excluded is for kabbalas haget, because by kabbalas haget it's not, if the chlam is not a din of shlichas. Din of creating another yad. Rabbi Yechanan says mitzara svara, and Nevik Naini cannot have a yad for kabbalas again. So the Achrayim ask, it's against the Gemara. The Gemara says over here, you don't need a pasuk atem gam atem, the hekish that it says the shliach next to the farmer in the same pasuk atem gam atem to teach me that a nochri cannot serve as a shliach. I don't need a pasuk by Truma. If you all like Reb Shimon, the nochri is leisa b'taras Truma denafshei. So if he's ain't a b'toras, how can he serve as a shliach on behalf of someone else? According to the Rimagash, why not? The shliach by Afrashas Truma is a regular din of shliach. It's not about that I'm creating another yad, an additional yad. So the Achrayim all is that all the Rishonim disagree with the Rimagash. And the Achrayim say that this Gemara is the tiyuft against the Rimagash. Now, Kalpanim, it's clear that the Rimagash understood the first way. Baruch Be'er writes in Gittin, he's not sure. I don't understand, this is clearly a yotam and a klal, so this is a totally different din. The question was asked before, once you have the pasuk that says the shulchan malam shehi oisu shliach, why do you need a pasuk v'shilach? Shouldn't it be al kal v'chaymer? So according to the Rimagash, it's not a kal v'chaymer, it's a totally different din, just like if the woman would buy a field. So the field becomes, she doesn't have to have in mind that the field, she wants to be happily married. She doesn't plan to get divorced. She's not even dreaming about getting divorced. When she buys a field, so that field is considered a yad of the isha, and the baal has the ability to get into the chatzar ha'isha. So here, there's a pasuk that says if the isha appoints someone to serve as her yad, it's not really a din of shlichus. She can make another yad for kabbalas aget. But I would never have thought in a million years. I would never be able to learn out from that pasuk that the person who is a bailam on the kinyan can appoint the shliach, that the shliach should act on his behalf. No. According to the Rimagash, the vort only is the shilcha. Just like if she buys the field becomes her yad. So when she designates someone as a yad for Kabbalah again, that's also called a yad. It's not really a din of shlichus.
So quick to Rimagash, quick to the first charge of Rav, there's no actual din shlichus by Kabbalah again.
Correct.
And then, honestly, how could you talk to David Amalek when the woman would have to get from their husband?
The husband always has the ability to give the get al tonight. The woman doesn't have the ability to make any tonight. The woman doesn't have the ability. Furthermore, many Rishonim say that the get in the days of David HaMelech was not given al tonight. The husband gave to the get outright. And then when if he came back alive, it was understood that he's going to remarry his wife. Different opinions in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim say he gave the get ala tanai if he dies in the war. So if he dies in the war, so what do you need the get for? It means that he's a young guy. He's only 18 years old. He got married. He was drafted. He was supposed to be 20 years old. His wife doesn't have any children yet. So to spare her from Yivam Achalim. So Taisa is not happy. That's how Rashi writes. He used to give the get ala tanai if I'm killed in action, so this get should serve on your behalf, you shouldn't need Yibam Machabim. So Tosfos is not happy about that. So Tosfos says, so very few people needed to get them. Only those who were married had no children. But whoever had children, or whoever doesn't have a brother, so there's no need for the get. So Tosfos says it doesn't make sense. So Tosfos says the get was, if also Allah Tanai, if I don't come back alive within a year after the war is over, so this get, maybe he'll be captured, maybe he'll be, we don't know what's happening with him. And many Rishonim disagree with Rashi and Taisa. They say, no, they gave the get stop, and it was understood that they're going to remarry them later on. But the husband can always give the get on the side. Yeah.
It's very small to derive it. How do you understand the fact that if you're right, you might think that your kids are close to this now, so anything more you give should be also be Torah's.
That's a very interesting point. It's not the same, of course, not the same. Min HaTorah, the Gemara says, you can give Mafresh HaMashahu, but you can give from a Kol Shehu up until 99.99%. You can't give everything as Truma. You have to have Reshus Hishara and Nikor. You have to leave something out. And the 2% is the recommendation. What the Gemara says over here, 2%. 1 out of 50 is being Mita Beinonis, and if you want to be generous, they give 1 out of 40. And if you want to save, we allow you to give 1 out of 60 if you choose to. But you obviously have to give. So you have the right to decide how much you want to give. But that's different. That truma was obligatory truma. He's not going to take out any truma. Everything will be tevel with the Misa B'nei Shammai. How much truma he takes out, that's optional to determine how much. Not the same as with the whole HaFrash's truma is optional.
Also, the point you brought there, whether or not possibly you can give it to the Shriya Papa.
Could be. The question is that if he says, I don't want to serve as the shliach, the man says, I don't want to serve as the shliach, so goodbye. But he just is mevatel the shliach. That's another question. There's a stomach question. Can you put in the chatzar of the shliach even midaito shel shliach? That's another question. The chatzar of the isha is taifas on behalf of the isha. Is the chatzar of the shliach taifas on behalf of the isha? The woman appointed me as her shliach. She never appointed my chatzar as her shliach. So that's another question, whether the chatzar of the shliach works at all. Probably doesn't.
Can a woman who wants to save her marriage claim that the gift that her husband sent her is not valid on account of the fact that he's a shotem?
She can claim whatever she wants. The rabbis will have to investigate whether he's crazy for divorcing such a talented wife.
That's exactly the point. So the rabbis can determine that he's a shotem, yep. Therefore the marriage is not called.
If he's really a shotem. Just because a person does a foolish thing doesn't mean that he's a shotem. There's a shoter means deranged. Tipesh means a fool. He's a fool for divorcing such a talented wife, but that doesn't make him a deranged person. Shoter means deranged, crazy.
Well, she can claim that.
She can claim, and well, people claim whatever they want, and when we have to investigate this, see whether the person is really a shaytan.
Like the first thought of a bar affair, so I don't think Mara wants to push it that way. The woman has to be involved, so that affair needs both fledged students, no? So the woman needs her haskama. Even if we're on these matters, but you still need some sort of haskama, so I have to point out a shliach for haskama.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the first thought of a bar affair, that if I get, because then there's no involvement, so maybe there's a. There's a cost of that a woman that I can appoint someone to be my yak. Where the woman needs to express her doubt.
The shliach isha by kiddushin is like the shliach habal by the gift. That's a regular shliach. That's a normal
shliach.
The only case that the Gemara found questionable was the shliach, the ability of the isha to make a shliach lekabola by a gift. So that the Gemara needed a separate pasuk for. That's where Baruch Bey writes, he's not sure what's the nature of the din. So the Rimagash we know clearly. The Rimagash clearly thinks, and most of the Rishonim disagree with him, he clearly thinks that it's not, even after you have the pasuk is clearly tell me an exception to the question, exception to which rule? Which rule is an exception to? So that's what the Rimagash is of the opinion. It's bechlal not a din of shlich. She's just making another yad. Her shliach cannot act on her bia, just like a chotzer services her yad. So the shliach services her yad as well, but it's not really a din of shluchas shlodim kemos. It's a din of yad. And the Rambam happens not usually. The Rambam agrees with the Rimagash. Happens that the Rambam clearly does not agree with the Rimagash on this. The Rambam seems to say that when the woman appoints the shliach, the Rambam has a fascinating opinion. There is a din that when a man is mekadosh an isha, the Gemara learns that from a pasuk. When a man gives kiddushin to an isha, so you need what we call edus lekiyum adover. Is that Gemara? That's on some chema base. The Gemara learns that in Zeresh Shabbat dava dava mimam. That by mamanuses of the shnai maiden of shnai and mashlosh adim yakum davar, and by davar should be erva. It says kimotza ba erva is davar. So the Gemara learns out from that davar davar mimamim two things. First of all, to ascertain the facts of the case, whether a woman is divorced, a woman is married, the bira davar that you need shnai adim. You don't treat it like edech and bisur. That's the Gemara, the end of Gittin, the last daf of Masechet Gittin, that you need to wait him. That's on Samach Vav Amid Aleph, to be mivar by the woman is a soita of the bailo. And Eish Yisish Adin, so you need to wait him. Then the Gemara has another din on Samach Emet, based on Agzer Rishonah, that for Kiddushin to be valid, for Kiddushin to take effect, you have to have what we refer to, Rav Chaim coined the term over here, Eidus Lakim Adova. That if a man gives the girl a ring, and he says, Hari Amakudesh Isli, there are no witnesses watching, there are no kosher witnesses. Even though there's no contradiction, he and the she both say that he married her. So the halacha says that the kiddushin is not chal. It doesn't take effect.
Why would there be any presumption that it would take effect if you don't have witnesses?
Well, let's say when I go shopping in the grocery store, I'm the first customer there's no one else there. And I buy food and I go home, or I buy clothing in a clothing shop or whatever. So you don't have to have witnesses to watch when I make a kinyan. The kinyan is valid even if nobody knows, just the salesman and the customer. They know, there's no one else watching. So I would have thought that by kiddushin should also be good. So that's a chiddush, that the kiddushin is not valid. That if there are no two kosher witnesses watching, so the kiddushin doesn't take effect. So we assume that the same applies to a get. It's a question. Rishayim and Shulchan Aruch, we assume that the same is true by a get. When the husband gives the get to his wife, so the halacha requires you have to have edus lekiyum adov. What if you're not talking about the actual giving of the get? What if you're talking about appointing a shliach lahalachas haget? The husband wants to give a get to his wife, and he appoints a shliach to deliver the get to his wife. Is it necessary for the husband to appoint a shliach lahalachas haget in the presence of two witnesses? Or the wife wants to appoint a shliach for the Kabbalah get. She's not going to be able to show up in person to receive the get, so she wants to appoint a shliach to do the Kabbalah get on her behalf. So is it necessary for her to appoint a shliach for Kabbalah get in the presence of two witnesses or not? So by the Kabbalah get, that's a Mishnah get. That's a Beferish and Mishnah. Ha'isha Shomra his Kabbalah Gitti. If the woman said to a shliach, I want you to, a man, to a person, that's the bottom of Samach Gimel Amen Beis and Gitti. Ha'isha Shomra is Kabbalah Gitti. So it says, Tricha Shtei Gitti Yedim. She needs two sets of witnesses. She needs two witnesses present. Shnam Shomra Faneinu Omra. You need Eidus L'Kim Adover at the time that she appoints the shliach L'Kabbalah Saget. Then you need another pair of witnesses, Shnaim Shammah, Vanena Kibel. Then you need another two witnesses present when the get is given over. So that's a simple reading of the Mishnah. Does it follow necessarily from this Mishnah that when the husband appoints a shliach, Lahilach HaSaget, that he also needs Eidus L'Kim Adover? So that's a famous dispute between the Rambam and the writer. So the writer says, of course it does. Anything that's relevant to determine whether the marriage was terminated or not needs Eidus L'Kim Adover. So when the Baal appoints a shliach lahilacha saget, you need Eidus L'Kim Adover. When Isha appoints a shliach the Kabbalah saget, you need Eidus L'Kim Adover. Even though it's not the actual Maisa Gerishin itself, when you do the actual Maisa Gerishin, you need Eidus L'Kim Adover then as well. But this is an act that's relevant. This is the shliach, the appointing of the shliach lahilacha saget, or the appointing the shliach the Kabbalah saget, will determine whether the get that was given was meaningful or not. So the rabbi is of the opinion that all three times, minishlech loilacha saget, minishlech lekabala saget, and the actual mitzvah saget, everything needs Eidus L'Kim Adover. And the Rambam says no. The Rambam writes, when the husband appoints a shliach loilacha saget, it's like a man appointing a shliach to be mafresh trumas and maisers. Or it's like a man appointing a shliach, the salesman. He appoints a salesman as a shliach to sell all the jewelry in the jewelry shop. He says, you don't need Eidus L'Kim Adover there. So why should you need Eidus L'Kim Adover when the husband appoints a shlich l'ilachah saget? Or when the wife appoints a shlich l'kabbalah saget, that's the Mishnah. That's what the Mishnah says. And in that case, you require Eidus L'Kim Adover. What is that all about? But the writer says it doesn't make any sense. Why should the Rambam split? Why should he distinguish between when the husband appoints a shlich l'ilachah saget as opposed to the wife appointing a shlich l'kabbalah saget? Why does he see a difference? So it would appear that the Rambam is of the opinion when a man appoints a shliach to be mafresh truma, you need das to be mafresh truma. You need das to appoint a shliach, but the das doesn't have to be expressed in the presence of two witnesses. When the husband appoints a shliach lahilacha saget, that's not the das gerishin, that's a das minu shlichas. So the Rambam thinks that's not an act of Dovah Shabiyarva. You don't need Eidus L'Kim Adover there. You only need Eidus L'Kim Adover to back up a Das on a Dovah Shabiyarva. The actual Maisa Gerishin, the actual Maisa Kiddushin, with the Das Dovah Shabiyarva is expressed, that Das requires Eidus L'Kim Adover. So the Rambam thinks the one exception to the rule that the one and only exception to the rule that you require Eidus L'Kim Adover when you appoint a Shliach is when the Isha appoints a shliach lekabbalah saget, because in that case, what enables the woman to appoint the shliach in the first place? We don't understand why she has the ability to appoint the shliach. If not for the fact that you have the second pasuk, the shilcha malam shehi oit the shliach, we would have said only the husband has the ability to appoint the shliach. The wife is totally passive over here. The get can be given bal korcho. She's not a bailam on the kinyan of the gerishin. So we should have really argued the point and said she doesn't have the ability to appoint a shliach at all. So the pasuk tells us it's an exception to the rule. So what is the nature of what is the exception to the rule? So the Rambam seems to hold that the exception to the rule is that there are two roots of gerishin. There's one root of gerishin, the normal root, that the get is always given bal korcho shel isha. Even if they get along together, you don't need dasu isha and you don't have dasu isha. Get is always bal korcho. Then it's another root in the event that the woman wants to appoint a shliach lekabbalah saget. We say she can do so because we say there's another route how to get divorced. There's another method of divorce where you do need Das HaIsha, and the Das HaIsha is the Das HaIsha and the Gerishin is expressed at the time of Minu Shlichas, because that's what enables her to make the Shliach. If not for the fact that there were another route of Gerushin, she wouldn't be able to appoint the Shliach. So the fact that she wants to appoint the Shliach requires that she should express right now her das on the Kinyan HaGerushin. So whenever you express a das and dov should be erva, you require edus likim adov. That's the Rambam's chiddush. The Rambam says that the only time the Mishnah in Gittin, the Bar Marsamach, Gimel and Beis, the only time the Mishnah says Shnaim Shamar Bufaneinu Omra, that you need edus likim adov at the time of the minu shliches, is only minu shliches nitzai ha'isha. Because it doesn't really make sense that she should be able to appoint the shliach l'kabolat haget in the first place. So what does the Gzeres HaKasim tell me? That there's another root of Gerishin, which does, this root does require Das Gerishin on the part of the Isha, and we require the Das Gerishin now, at the moment of Minu Shlichas, not like the husband. The husband is going to express the Das Gerishin at the time of the Sinas HaGet. He appointed the Shlich, and the Shlich will express the Das Gerishin when he gives the Get. Now the husband appoints the Shlich, is not expressing Das Gerishin, he's expressing Das Minu Shlichas. But by the Shlich, the Kabbalah HaGet, the wife has to express a das gerishin at the time of the minu shlichus to enable her to have the ability to appoint the shaliach. So that's how the Rambam seems to have understood this din. Not at all like the Rimagash. Rimagash says you're only making another yad. It's not at all a din of shlichus. The Rambam usually doesn't. The Rambam says that Rambam's father was a student of the Rimagash. He says he once met the Rimagash. Sichla mavis b'chol atam. He says it was a super genius. Because he can't chap the Rima Gash on a mistake. He says, less than five mistakes, I think, less than 10. He can't chap him on any major mistake. But over here, the Rambam is clearly disagreeing. Well, the Rishon disagreed with this Rima Gash.
Why would you need to eat him
According to the Rima Gash, he probably would hold like the Ravid that you always need Edus Likim Adova and any action that's going to determine whether the get was chal or not. So when the Baal appoints a Shliach Lahiloch Saget, he probably holds you also need Edus Likim Adova, because that will determine whether the get took effect or didn't take effect. Not only do you need Edus Likim Adova and the actual Maisa Dovashe Bierva and all the other actions that are determining whether the Dovah Shebierva took effect or not. Take for example, there's a Machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid. In the following case, let's say a man gives a ring to a girl, says, Harei Mekudeshesli, if it snows by January 1st. Then it's coming, the end of December, still didn't start snowing yet, and they don't have too much time left. And they love each other very much. So the husband and the wife, the boy and the girl, they both make up that they want the Kiddushin to be Chal even if it doesn't snow. That the Chosin makes a declaration, the Chosin Kal make a declaration that even if it doesn't snow, we want the Kiddushin to be valid anyway. So the Rambam and the Ravid say that there is such a thing. That's called Mechilas HaTanai. If they're going to wait till after January 1st comes and goes and it still didn't snow, then it's too late. So far foul. But if they make such a declaration before, so that's what the Rambam and the Ravid disagree with. The other Rishon, they say there is such a thing as Mechilas HaTanai.
Why do both of them have to make the declaration if only the Baal, the husband, the declaration to begin with?
No, let's say they both agreed. Whenever you make a tanai, so both parties have to agree to the tanai. By a get, you don't need das or isha at all, so you don't need that she should agree to the tanai. You don't need that she should agree to the whole get in the first place. But by kiddushin, where you need dash name on the kiddushin, then you need dash name on the tanai as well. So if they both agree that the kiddushin should take effect even if it doesn't snow, so the Rambam and the Ravid understand Pshat and the Gemara, not all the Rishonim agree. That's how they understand that there is such a thing, that you can do a Mechilas HaTanai, the Kedushin will be Chal, even if it won't snow by January 1st. So there's a Machlek, is the Rambam and the Ravid, do you require Edus Likim Adova on the Mechilas HaTanai? So the Rambam says no, and the Ravid says, what are you talking about? But that's going to determine whether the marriage takes effect or not. So the Ravid is of the opinion that whatever is going to determine whether the Kiddushin or the Gerishin took effect, just like the actual act of Gerishin and Kiddushin needs Edus L'Kim Adova, so the other actions that people do also need Edus L'Kim Adova, because they are determining whether the Get is Chal, whether the Kiddushin is Chal. The Rambam holds no, you only need Edus L'Kim Adova on Das Dova Shebierva. So that's only on the actual act of Kiddushin or Gerishin, or on the Min Shliach L'Kabolas HaGet Ayidei HaIsha, the Rambam holds, because the only thing that enables the wife to appoint a shliach l'kabolas haget is the fact that we say there's another root of gerushin, and that gerushin requires das alisha, and she has to express das alisha on the gerushin right now at the time that she's appointing the shliach lekabalas haget. If she doesn't express das gerushin now, she doesn't have the ability to appoint the shliach. So the Rambam writes that only in that case do we require edus l'kim adavar the shas minu hashliach. Yes, that's a good question. Why? The Rambam holds that there's a parallelism between Gid and Kedushin, probably for the reason that I mentioned before. Probably the Rambam agrees with that Ran in the Dar on Daf Chav Tes, that by every case of Kedushin it's really Bar Korcha, but it can't be Mamish Bar Korcha. So the girl has to first express in advance that she's prepared to marry him, and then we say that he can do the Kedushin Bar Korcha. So the fact that the wife has the ability, the girl has the ability to appoint the shliach like Kabbalah's Kedushin, will also be the same chiddush as the wife having the ability to appoint the shliach, the kabbalas haget. The Rambam thinks that the same ideas that we're developing by the get apply, carry over to the kedushin as well, with this one slight difference, that by the kedushin you need that the girl should agree, always have to agree a little bit in advance. So now you have a good kash. Now you have a good kash. According to the way the Rambam understands this din, that this is a chiddush, that the v'shilcha malam shehisa is a shliach. So why did you need a pasuk that says that the husband can make a shliach? If you have a pasuk that even the wife can make a shliach, then you have a good kasha, a very good kasha. You should know through a kal v'chaimer that the husband can make a shliach. I don't know. You got to work on that kasha. Okay. Well, in that tomorrow we'll have to continue. Tomorrow the building is locked, I think. So we'll meet in the other building. Okay. Well, depending on how many people will be here, we'll decide what we're going to do. How many people plan to be here? Oh, so we'll go by then tomorrow. Okay.
What time?
If after people, what time? I don't know. People have obligations tomorrow. Got to go to work.
Mincha is
1:30.
Mincha is
1:30. Mincha is 1:30. Sunday schedule. Salt. Okay.
11:30.
Okay. Good enough.
Where is it across the hall?
Probably one of them. Find an empty room. Why is that? 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 Why is that